Okay, good morning, Bruce's Rabbi Krohn. We are on Chaf Beis, Amud Beis. We're about a quarter of the way down. Armalei Ravina, we're of Ashi. So yesterday we started with the Mishnah, and we talked about in general concepts where there's some sort of obligation of person to person that's less formal. In other words, it's not like a formal signed shtar with witnesses or something like that. So we started with the Mishnah that talked about cases where husband commits to his wife by marriage, that he'll provide some sort of support for a daughter from a prior marriage. And that led us ultimately to talk about the agreements between two sides of a family when they're about to marry children off and there's some sort of financial document or a financial agreement that they would make. We talked about how there's no real kinyan with that and how that really works. And we got to the position of Rav Gidol, who said that although there's no real kinyan here, basically that it works because each side is happy to see their children get married off. Because we talked about how if there's no real benefit for the father in committing to these things, how does that ultimately work? So continuing on along the same lines, talking about that document that they would put together about the commitment of each side to the other side, what does that really represent? So Amalei Ravina Rav Ashi, Dvarim Halal, this sort of verbal agreement about the financial arrangements between the two sides, Nitnali Kasev, Velo Nitnigla Kasev, are you allowed to write it down? Can you make like this document, this shtar that they talked about, or you're not allowed to do it? And what we're really talking about here is there is an element, and it's explained in the Art Scroll in Note 10, that this document, although this document notes what the verbal agreement was, there is a question about whether you're allowed to have a document written and signed by witnesses if it's not going to enable you to collect from encumbered properties. So if this is only going to be something that could be collected from unencumbered properties, there is a view that says you're not allowed to write that down and have it as a signed document because people might confuse it and try to use it for collecting from the encumbered properties. So that's typically what a shtar that's written and signed by witnesses is done. So the question is, are you allowed to even have this sort of document, or is it simply just a verbal agreement between the parties? So Rav Ashi answers, Amalei, lo nitna lekasev, that you're not allowed to write this down. Because this document would not let you collect from the encumbered properties, you're not allowed to write it down. And therefore, it has to remain as a verbal agreement. So, Eisvei, so they ask a question on this. We learned in our Mishnah, and remember, the Mishnah said if husband marries the wife, he commits to supporting the daughter from the prior marriage. And if she divorces him and gets married to another guy, he can make the same commitment, and they're all on the hook, even though she's moved from husband two to husband three, and even if the daughter gets married herself, they're still on the hook. And it says that the smart people, what they would do is they would write down that if I'll support her as long as we remain together. So ha'apiklin ha'yakosvin ha'manah sha'azuna b'chacha b'shanim ha'kozman sha'atimi, that I'll support her for the 5 years as long as we remain together. So Gemara asks, my kosvin. This is again if we're saying you're not allowed to write these things down because they can't be collected from the encumbered property. My kosvin, how can you be writing anything down, right? You should be omrim. It should be that they make a verbal agreement that they're going to do this. Vikari leila mir ksiva. The question is, when the Gemara uses the word ksiva, does it really mean amira? Does it really mean you're saying, even though it's using the word speaking? Is using the word writing, does it really mean speaking? Gemara says yes. It's just a term. It doesn't really mean that it has to be written down. Tanah, we learned it in a Mishnah. This Mishnah we learned a while ago. Hakosev l'ishto, someone who writes for his wife. I don't want to have any involvement with anything to do with you. He still is allowed to somehow use her produce during her lifetime. So even if he says he's not interested in retaining the rights to her property, he still is able to do it. And there it uses the word hakosev, he writes. V'tani Rabbi Chiya, and Rabbi Chiya, when he taught the Braisa, it means ha'omer le'ishtov, he says it. So this sort of gives us some sort of proof that when it uses the word ksiva, it really doesn't literally mean write it down. It really means that it's declared, like it's said. So the Gemara is still not settled on this, so it has another issue. Tashma, we learned in a Mishnah, Ein kos v'nshtari erusin u v'nisuyin. You're not allowed to write documents of erusin and nisuyin, the two parts of marriage, ela midashnehem, except if both parties are in agreement. So ha midas shnehem kosvim. That means that with the you have to have both of them agreeing that you're able to write it. So my love shtari psiksa. So is it not the document of erusin? Is it not that same document that we talked about earlier that basically says this is what each side agrees to? Each side agrees to do A or B, right? Isn't that the same thing? I mean, in fact, that, you know, the Tanayim that we do today, you know, all it says is that neither side has an obligation to the other side, right? So it's again, it's similar to this document of agreement of what they're going to do. Is that the shtar erusin? And if we're saying, you know, you're allowed to write it if both sides agree. Marantz is lo shtari erusin mamish. This talks about an actual document that affects erusin. It's a document that says in it hare at mikudeshesli, right? So in theory, it could be said. In theory, it could be handed off as part of a, you know, it could be done as a shtar. So it's saying the shtar is a shtar that actually affects the erusin, and it's not a document that is enumerating the financial obligations of the two families. Kidra Papa Rav Shravia, and that follows the opinion of Papa Rav Shravia, the Itmar, because we said Kasvil Lishma the Shalom Midata. If the erusin document was written for this woman but without her consent, Rabba Ravina Amrei Mikudeshes, they would say she's married by it. Rav Papa Rav Shravia Amrei Eina Mikudeshes. And they would say she's not mikudeshes because they hold that this erusin document is valid only if they both agree. So therefore, they would hold that that it has to be written with the both sides, both the husband and the wife's agreement about the party. So still not happy with our answer. So Tashma, Mesu, we learned earlier in our Mishnah that if the husbands died and the property goes to their heirs, v'nosehen nizonas b'nechasim u'v'nechorin, that their own daughters from this same wife are supported with unencumbered properties, v'hi nizonas b'nechasim mishubadim, and she is supported with the encumbered properties, v'pnei shehi balas chov, because she is considered like a creditor. So if she's able to collect from the encumbered properties, it means that she has to have some sort of legitimate approved signed debt document. So isn't that the same document we're talking about here? This, you know, this what's called a document of allotment. This basically the informal agreement that's signed. So the Gemara is trying to get away with this. Hachav and Mayaskin, what we're talking about, Bishakana Miado, where they actually did a formal kinyan at the time to make these binding. So as part of the of this agreement, he did some sort of kinyan chalifin as part of accepting this responsibility. So that's the reason she's allowed to collect. But a verbal agreement that didn't have this kinyan, we wouldn't allow them to do it because it would not allow you to collect from the encumbered properties. So that seems to suggest that if he did it with a real kinyan, then maybe that would be okay. So ihachi, if so, if that's really what happened, but no, Stami, what about his own daughters? Why would it be a case that the stepdaughter is allowed to collect from the encumbered properties, but the daughter is not allowed to? In theory, if he's making this formal kinyan as part of doing the arrangement with the wife, you know, it should include his other his daughters from that wife as well. The Gemara answers, "B'shakanu lezu v'lo kanu b'zo." Maybe they did the kinyan only when it came to the element of the stepdaughters, but to the rest of the stuff, he did not do. He did not do a kinyan. Umay paska. How could you say this? Right. This seems like a very oddball scenario, right? That you would do a kinyan for the stepdaughters, but not do a kinyan for the other daughters. So how can you really assume that would be the typical answer of what it would be? So maybe we have to assume that the daughter should also have been included in the same formal kinyan, and therefore we still have the question why the daughters are not allowed to collect the same way the stepdaughter is. So ihu, maybe in the case of the stepdaughter, the havi b'shas kinyan, that she was alive at that time, right? So when he makes this agreement with the wife had been previously married and has a daughter. The daughters from the two of them have not yet been born. So he makes his kinyan, it's at the time that this stepdaughter is alive. May is like kinyan, so it works for her. But banos, the daughters that he's going to have a year or two later, though havu b'shayas kinyan, they didn't exist at the time of the kinyan, lo mahani lo mekinyan. Maybe the kinyan doesn't work for them. So maybe that word doesn't necessarily like that. Milo as kinyan, but could we also talk about a different case? The havi b'shayas kinyan, maybe the daughters are around at the time of the kinyan. V'hachidami, how is this possible? Kigon degarsha. So here's the case. So woman one, she was previously married and has a daughter. She comes in and marries this guy. They have children. Then they get divorced. And as part of their remarriage, right, that's where they're doing this kinyan about the stepdaughter that is going to continue to support the stepdaughter. And therefore you have both the stepdaughters and the daughter are alive, right? They're all there at the same time. So again, maybe that's not that could be a scenario where the daughters and the stepdaughters are both there, they're both alive, and they both should be subject to the same kinyan, and therefore, in theory, they should both be able to collect from the same property. So Ella, there's a difference. Ihu, in the case of the stepdaughters, Delesa b'sanai bezdin, she's not stipulated by the bezdin. So in other words, when as part of the of a typical marriage, the father is responsible to take care and support for his own daughters. And the Beis Din supports that. The Beis Din makes it happen. So he doesn't have to do anything significant to make that happen. That's a default. Mahani la kinyan. With the stepdaughter, since she does not have that backing of the automatic, it's going to happen with the court, she needs the kinyan. Banos, the daughters, the inu b'sanai Beis Din, they get the backing of the court. You know, that's an automatic default that the father has to support them. Lo mahani lo kinyan. They wouldn't need this kinyan. They wouldn't benefit from this kinyan. That's not necessary. So Gemara doesn't like this. It doesn't seem to make logical sense. Migra garai, should they have a lower status, meaning they should they have less rights because they had the default Beis Din kinyan, Beis Din, not kinyan, but default Beis Din support. They didn't need a kinyan, so the fact that the stepdaughter needed a kinyan should make them on a lower level than the daughters who have the generic support of the Beis Din. It's an automatic that the father has to support them. Ella benosav haynu taima. The reason is that the daughters can't take out from the encumbered properties cave under istnu b'sanai Beis Din, since they're required to get supported by the Beis Din. Amar srife aspinayu. You could say that the father has been taking care of them. He took care of them. He paid for all of their needs. It's possible that he paid for all of his obligations because he knew that it was responsibility of the Beis Din. So we're not worried that he didn't. We're worried that maybe he already paid off whatever obligation he had to his daughters, and therefore we wouldn't let them go after the encumbered properties. But we're worried that he's not necessarily going to take care of his wife's daughter from a prior marriage. And that's why she has this kinyan, and that's why she's allowed to collect from the encumbered properties. Okay, so back to our Mishnah. Lo yomar harishon, the first should not say. So what this was talking about is that she comes in, she marries guy husband number two, and he agrees that he's going to support the prior daughter, then divorces him, and then marries husband number three, same agreement, and they shouldn't say. He can't say, you know what, when she comes to me, that's when I'll provide for her. It said that he has to bring the food to her mother's house. Amarechle says, Zoso meres bas eitzel ima. This implies that the place of the daughter is with the mother, right? When she's not married, she should go back to the mother. So this is all question about if she's able to stay and be supported by the heirs, or she has to be staying at the house of the mother. So when would she have to stay with the house of the mother? We might be dola askina. Are we talking about an adult daughter? It makes sense, I guess, with a minor daughter that she would go back to have to stay with the mother since she couldn't stay with the heirs. Dilma Biktana Asina. Maybe we're talking about a minor daughter who should go back into her mother's, stay at her mother's house. And we should masa shahaya. And that the reason that they do that is because of a unfortunate situation that happened. What happened to Tanya? Misha meis v'niach ben katan l'imo. That if one died and left a son over, that it should be he should go to the care of his mother, because Yorshe Ha'av Omrim Yehei Gadol Etzlenu, that they could say let him come live with us. The Imo Ameris Yehei Bini Gadol Etzlenu, and the mother can say let the boy be raised by me. Menichin also Etzel Imo, they would put him with his mother. And they don't put him with anyone who is the heirs that's inherited. Why? Masahaya, there was once an incident. Vishachtu Erevisha, where they let him go live with the heirs, and they killed him the very first night because they didn't want him to share in anything that happened. So a minute after he came under their domain, they killed him, right? So because they didn't want to share their inheritance, so he didn't last at all. So the implication here is that when it comes to a minor, you have to protect them and let them be able to stay by the mother. So maybe we're talking about a minor, right? But are we talking about an adult? Does she have to stay by the mother, or is she able to stay by the heirs, or should she stay by the heirs? Imkain, liste lamakam shehi. Mishnah said that the husband has to bring the food to the place where the mother is. He didn't say it should bring the food to the place where the daughter is, right? So that might imply that she does have to stay where the mother is. Going to Kaf Gimel, Milo Makom She'ima. What is it meant for? That she is it Makom She'ima? Is it meant at the place where her mother lives? Shma Mina Bal Bas Eitzel Em. You can learn from this that the daughter has to stay with wherever the mother is. Vloshnag Gdola Vloshnag Tana. It doesn't matter if there is a if it's an adult or it's a child. So bottom line is that the daughter is supposed to go back and live with the mother, and that's where it's assumed that the husband is going to provide her, bring her support. Okay, and our Mishnah said below Yom Rishneihem, they can't say, and this is talking about where they can't say, we'll split the amount that we have to pay. If both of us are on the hook, we'll split it. Hahu Gavra de Ogerle Reichye Lechaveru Tchina. There was a guy who rented out his mill to someone else in exchange for milling services. So he had a mill. He lent the mill to person A, and the way the guy paid him back is whenever he had product to be milled, the guy would do it for free, That would be the way he would pay for it, is by milling it on his behalf. Lesof itayer. At one point, this guy who was leasing out the mill got very rich. Zavin Recha the Chamran. He went and he bought another mill and a donkey to provide for his own house. And therefore, he didn't need this guy to do milling for him using the mill that he was leasing. Armalei ad ha'id nahavi tachina gabech. Until now, you would do milling for me, of my grain at the mill, and that was your rental. Hashta havalei agra. Now pay me in cash. I want to be paid in cash for the mill. I don't need you to mill on my behalf anymore, so I want you to pay me in cash. Armalei, the renter, says to him, Mitchan tchina naleich lach. I'll continue to mill for you, and I'm not going to pay you cash. So they asked this question to Ravina. Sava Ravina Lameimar. He first thought to say, Hainu imastisin, that's the same situation of our Mishnah, because the Mishnah says, lo yom rishneim hari anu zanin osak echad. The Mishnah can't say that together we'll pay you. Ela echad zan, ve'echad nosin la'demei mizonos. That one of them will feed her, and one of them has to give her the monetary equivalent. So even though the agreement said food, money works just as well. So you might learn from here that he can insist on only paying the guy back with milling services. Money is equivalent, right? So he should be on the hook to give back money. So that was where he was initially going to rule on this item. Amar le Rav Avira, but Avira said to him before he ruled, Mi dami, are these cases similar? Hasab chad kreisa isle. When it comes to the daughter, She only has one stomach. She can only be fed once, right? She doesn't need to be fed by two people. She doesn't need two lunches, two dinners, right? So tarte krisa lesla. She doesn't have two stomachs. So she's not going to eat two sets of meals. So it should be make sense to her that she should be allowed to, from one of them, get money and the other one get fed. Otherwise, she's going to lose out, right? Giving her multiple meals is just going to be a waste for her. Hachi meitzi amrali. But in this case, the renter can say to the guy he's leasing from, you're not going to lose anything. With tachon v'zabin, you can mill to sell in the old mill. And tachon v'osif, so I'm going to still mill for you. And whatever you don't need, you can go ahead and sell. Right? So we have to continue the arrangement of where I'm going to mill for you and I'm not going to pay you in cash. The lo amranan, and the Gemara qualifies this. We don't say that the renter can refuse to pay cash. Ella the less leitchilin lareche, except where he doesn't have enough milling for full time operation of the mill. So because he's not able, you know, he has excess availability of the mill, then he can say he's going to use the mill for purposes of satisfying the payment. Because if he didn't do that, he would wind up with a loss. Because his assumption was that he was going to rent this mill, and part of the, you know, X hours a week were going to be used towards satisfying the rental. And if he's not able to fulfill those X hours a week, the mill will be idle, and he'll be out the cash for the rental. But if he's able to fill in somebody else or have full utilization of the mill, stomp. So if he's just being obstinate and he's saying, no, this was our agreement and I'm not going to pay you in cash, and he's able to not lose anything as a result because someone else is able to come along and take up the space, we would force him to do it, because otherwise that will be considered midas stom, where he's being so selfish that he's not willing to do the right thing in this case and he's just taking advantage. So with this, we'll pause. And we'll conclude for now. Everyone should have a wonderful day. And Meretz Hashem, next week, we'll pick up with Daf Kaf Gimel.